agenda item. Discussion and possible action on fiscal year 2015. Comprehensive annual financial report by David Thompson, Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning. At this time of the year, I bring to you the comprehensive financial report. This report was prepared by our financial team and audited, and is audited as well by our external auditors. During this agenda, I plan to tell you about the purpose of the report highlights, and also at the end of the agenda, I will have basically Michael Bynes here to give basically his report on the audit. The CAFR is basically a report that presents fairly our results of operations for August 31st, 2015. It was in accordance with general accepted accounting principles and also government accounting standard boards. It also has compliance to a single audit. In 2015, our state grants exceeded $500,000, which required us to have additional audit steps taken to make sure that those grants were in compliance with the state regulations. Let me talk a little bit about the difference between the CAFR and basically our operating plan. The CAFR basically is a historical document. And in that historical document, we do the accounting based off of accruals in accordance with general accepted accounting principles. Whereas the annual operating plan, which is our budget, is a prospective document. It is a document prepared before the fiscal year, and then we measure ourselves against that throughout the year in a quarterly basis. And it is on a primarily cash basis accounting. There are three sections to the CAFR, and the first is the introduction, which is basically the highlights of the events during 2015 for BRA. The second is the financial statements, and in the financial statements you have your supplementary information and your required footnotes to the financial statements. And the last is the statistical data, which is unaudited, but it gives you basically financial trends, revenue sources, debt capacity, other things that you might need to know about the financial statements. Also, the CAFR is organized around GFOA, which is basically Government Finance Officers Association Group. That organization provides awards. We've had awards for 29 years, expect to get one for this year, as well for achievement certificate. Those awards basically couldn't be possible without the hard work of my financial staff and dedication, as well as other people who contributed to the CAFR. So now I'm going to take a look at the financial differences between the budget and the CAFR. In 2014, you approved a budget for 2015 for an $812,000 surplus. The results of that budget in 2015 ended up at 8.9. As you can remember, back in October, we explained the 8.9 as $3 million worth of interruptible waters that wasn't budgeted, $5 million of operating expenses by department that wasn't spent, and $1 million worth of Castilla Island sales at PK. Now, the CAFR had $7.4 million of income. So there are four key elements and differences between the budget and the CAFR that make up the differences. The first is depreciation versus debt principal payments. In there, depreciation expense is not booked in your budget, whereas debt services is treated as an expenditure. But on the CAFR side, depreciation expense must be booked, and debt principal is basically a balance sheet adjustment. Therefore, depreciation expense greater than principal payments is $3.7 million reduction. Next, in Limestone Lake, we had a 40-year contract that came to conclusion in 2015. Now, for accounting practices, we were able to recognize the deferred revenue. This was only a book entry. It has no cash impact, no impact to the system rates. And that was $2.8 million. Next is a GASB 68 entry for pension cost. Now, in 2015, GASB 68 came into effect, requiring us to restate our 2015 financials for $684,000 and approximately $5 million in prior years. Next is the capital expenditures. In our budgets, vehicles and equipments are treated as expenditures, but under the CAFR, you have to capitalize those costs. That's $471,000. So I'm going to take a two-year look. The main takeaway here is our revenues were up by $4 million, and that has to do with interruptible water sales. And as you remember, those are not budgeted because we don't know if we're going to be able to sell the water or not. Next is expenditures were up, and that is by $1 million, and that's mainly due to the pension cost adjustment that we had and some other health-related insurance costs that came in. Now, with that, I have Michael Bryan here from Padgett & Stradman, and he will give the report on the audit.
Thank you, David. I'm Michael Bryan with Padgett Stradivarius. I'm going to give you a brief report on the audit process. I'll be happy to answer any questions as we go. Okay. As you recall, we were engaged by the board last year to audit the financial statements of the River Authority. And what that means is, you know, this is a standard financial statement audit scope that any governmental entity would have. We are auditing the financial statements that David just gave you some highlights on, and that includes examining supporting documentation on a test basis. It includes an assessment of internal control procedures and how they're being followed. It also includes an assessment of accounting policies to make sure that the organization's following the appropriate and required accounting policies and procedures. So we've concluded that, and our auditor's report is included in the draft comprehensive annual financial report. Our opinion is that the financial statements are fairly presented in conformity with generally accepted accounting principles. And as David mentioned, the authority follows the governmental accounting standards. When we do an audit of this sort, we don't report directly on internal controls, but we do tests over internal control policies and procedures, and there aren't any significant deficiencies for us to report to you as a result of our audit. With respect to, so that's the financial statements. The authority also has federal awards that are received and state awards. Those fall under different requirements for audits. The Federal Office of Management and Budget has rules regarding federal audits, federal awards. The expenditures, if you have over $500,000 in expenditures, those awards have to be audited. That threshold is not met, so there's no required audit for the federal programs. Now, the state also has a different set of rules, as David mentioned. It's been a few years, but this in 2015, the Clean Rivers Program expenditures exceeded the required threshold, so we did the additional audit procedures, which are mainly compliance expenditures. If they meet the, you know, what the grant program required, we did that. Work have issued a report, and there aren't any findings or issues to report to you with respect to that program. some things auditors are required to communicate to board members about accounting policies and procedures is one thing. The authority follows appropriate and standard governmental accounting procedures and policies. In 2015, as we've kind of pointed out to the board for the last couple of years, this new pension accounting standard is required to be adopted by all governments in the U.S., not just the River Authority. So that was done. We audited, David reported to you on the impact. There was about a $5 million restatement of prior years to establish the pension liability. And if you recall, basically what the standard setters are doing are bringing the pension liabilities onto the balance sheet of the River Authority, even though there's separate pension plans out there that are, you know, taking care of all of the, that pension payment and the pension plans. It's a disclosure sort of a standard. There weren't any other changes in the River Authority's accounting policies and procedures, and we don't have any we don't have any concerns about any of the accounting policies or procedures being followed by the River Authority. Every year, I just let you know, there are estimates and financial statements. That's a normal and standard accounting process. This is a list of kind of some of the significant estimates and some of the significant financial statement disclosures. When you look at the actual comprehensive annual financial report, you'll notice there are pages and pages of pension information this year. That's all the new requirements from the Governmental Accounting Standards Board. We've looked through there, make sure that everything is required is reported. Most of that is actuarial information, so we do rely on the actuaries for those pension plans to do the pension asset and liability calculations, and then your staff did the accounting and we checked it. So that's the only change in disclosures or estimates during 2015. Other things that we're required to communicate, we did receive full and complete cooperation during the course of the audit, didn't have any disputes or disagreement over any accounting or auditing matters. There weren't any audit adjustments. Likewise, there's not past adjustments or things that were immaterial that we just agreed not to record. And to the best of our knowledge, management didn't consult with any other accounting firms over any auditing or accounting matters. The comprehensive annual financial report, as David gave you a little bit of information on, that is a lengthy and important disclosure document that the authority has been preparing for a number of years. There is some unaudited information in there that is not covered by our auditor's report, but we do review the whole document, read all the information, and we're not aware of anything in there that contradicts anything in the audited financial statements. It's ready to be filed with the Government Finance Officers Association, and it gets judged by an independent person, not part of our audit team or the authority, and they decide whether or not it meets the standards for the award. Finally, I know there's some new members here. I do work for the board. We're engaged by the board. We work with management in conducting the audit. If you ever have any questions or anything, here's my contact information. The audit team is listed here as well. So with that, I will see if there's any questions. If not, that completes my report. Thank you.
Thank you.
This time we'll accept the CAFR, but before I want to let you know that we will be publishing and bounding the copies of the CAFR and then basically issuing it to the board members as well as the TCEQ, other state regulatory agencies such as the State Auditor's Office, Texas Water Board, debt rating services, and others who may request the CAFR. So if there are no other questions, I'd like to read the resolution for acceptance.
Read your resolution, please.
Okay.
Be it resolved that the Board of Directors hereby accept the Brazos River Authority's comprehensive annual financial report for fiscal year 2015 and approves its filing with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. The Chief Financial Officer is hereby directed to file the report and the annual filing of the affidavit of the Executive Director of the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality.
All right. You heard the reading of the resolution. Is there a motion to adopt? Tallis, second by Kilgore. Please poll the board.
Presiding Officer Scott?
Yes.
Director Ball?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Dennis?
Yes.
Director Bowles?
Yes.
Director Christensen?
Not here.
Not here. Okay. Director?
Yes.
Director Huber?
Yes.
Director Jonathan?
Yes.
Director Kilgore?
Yes.
Director Newton?
Yes.
Director Masterson?
Yes.
Director Monson?
Yes.
Director Rankin?
Yes.
Director Smith?
Yes.
Director Tallis?
Yes.
Director Taylor?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino?
Yes.